Well, while the ones up front are making their way back, good morning to all of you. Got a good morning back? Good morning. Now, how many are fired up to be here this morning? Just need to hear it. I'm going to tell you why I'm fired up to be here today. When I was a teenager, it was the first major moment when I heard from the Spirit of God. I mean, I heard God's voice. He made His voice known to me. It was during my teenage years that God placed on what many of us would describe as a call on my life to serve Him in ministry. And once you have heard from God, once you have a sense of His Spirit impressing on your spirit, you're never the same again. He marks you. And here's why I'm fired up. He not only did that for me when I was a teenager, but I think He intends to do that for many of us here today if you're open, if you desire that. About 5 months ago, in August, I was at a personal spiritual retreat for about a week, had my own agenda, was walking through, and God interrupted me. And kind of rare 5 months ahead of time, but I believe God told me what to share with you. Two thoughts that I think God wants to deliver. And I heard this 5 months ahead of time. So I've been fired up for 5 months because I think God is going to meet with us. I think He's already here and you know that. But I think God intends to speak to anyone who will lean their heart toward Him. And so if that is you, anticipate God speaking. You might sense something of His call upon your life today. You might sense God speaking to you and impressing on your spirit what His Spirit desires. That makes for a major marking day. So I'm just going to pray before we dive in and ask God to grant us the attentiveness, the sensitivity of our heart before Him. So Father, You know every student here better than we know ourselves. You orchestrate all time. And You set this moment in time when You knew we would gather together. You knew these students would be here, Father. And so, would You, as only You can, Holy Spirit, speak to each one as uniquely as You created us. In Christ's name, amen. I have four kids. All the way from a sophomore in college, a senior in high school, my daughter, the only girl among the four, rough on her. I have a middle school son, and then we have this, we call the tag along, this delightful four-year-old who's a preschooler who was unplanned, but that was last night's subject, so I won't go there. I'll just move on. And if I were sitting with my three teenagers, I would tell them the same thing. If we were sitting across from a Starbucks or sharing a slice of pizza, I would tell them the same thing I'm going to tell you. That sometimes the most important thing in life you can do is get over it. In fact, I just want to teach you one thing. I think God wants to deliver one primary thought, and then we'll break it down. And the thought is this. Get over it. So I want you to lean to your neighbor and I just want you to tell somebody around you, get over it. Go ahead, help them out. You see, before David, King David from the Old Testament, before he ever became the one through whom the genealogy of Jesus Christ would follow. I mean, we've just finished Christmas. You go into Matthew chapter 1 and it says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David. That's pretty impressive when your name rises the very opening of the New Testament. A forerunner of Jesus. Father, David, son of Abraham. It chases it back. But before he was ever the great king that we know of him to be, before he was ever the warrior who conquered empires, before he ever took tens of thousands down, before he ever took down Goliath. I mean, come on, how many of us know the David and Goliath story? We've heard it since we were kids. But listen to me, before any of that ever occurred, David was a teenager. And God gave us insight into the life of a teenager who became huge for the kingdom of God. And David got over a couple of things as a teenager that if you can get over these two things, God will change your life here and forever, use you mightily. All that you imagine God has imagined for you unfolds if you can get over these two things. Now, we all have a lot of stuff we have to get over. Isn't that true? I mean, you got stuff you just got to get over. When I was in middle school, I had to get over something. I had a girl that we were kind of going together. Now, I listened to the talk last night. I was here. I know about the bases and stuff. But when I was in middle school, it was far more intimidating. We would just write a little note, "Do you like me?" And then a little box, "Yes," and a little box, "No." And it took huge courage to slip that note through three friends to the girl you liked. And then you just hoped it would come back encouraging. You know, you get those no's and you feel like an idiot. You say, "Oh, man." And then you say, "I didn't write that. My friend wrote that." You know, you got to cover yourself somehow. So I wrote this girl the no who I liked in our little Wesleyan church. And she X'd back, "Yes." Oh, yeah, this is big time. Now, hey, listen, I'm not working on first base stuff. When you're going with somebody, when I was a kid in middle school, when you're going with somebody, here's how you knew. You held hands. Man, it took all the courage in me when she said she'd go with me to finally sit there in church. I'm not thinking about what the preacher's saying. I'm not into the Bible. I'm just like, 20 minutes, I got to get her hand. Oh, good, Jesus, help me take her hand. Help her not to feel it shake. And I took her hand, and so now we're going together. And so we're walking around proudly, we hold hands. I mean, now you know, we're an item. This is what happened. I have two older brothers, one 3 years older, one about a year and a half. But the middle one, who's 2 years ahead of me in school, I came to church one Sunday night. I'm walking down the aisle at a little Wesleyan church, and she's sitting next to him holding his hand. And then hands me a note. "We're not going together anymore." Now, how many of you think that's wrong? Come on, that's wrong. That is wrong. I was wrong. But you know what I had to do? I had to what? Get over it. Say it with me. I had to do what? Get over it. There's stuff in life you have to get over. My parents' marriage blew up in my teenage years. That was rough. Seemed like a strong family, but you know what? Ultimately, I had to get over it. And that's been no easy journey. That stuff scars you as a kid. Just wonder how many of us come from blended families, broken families, multiple marriage environments. There's a number of us. And I'll tell you what, we don't talk about it much, but that stuff marks us. That's not so easy to get over, but you got to get over it, so to speak. Any high schoolers here? Just curious. Can I hear the high schoolers? Any high schoolers? When I was in high school, my last year of high school, the big thing is going to the football games. That's where you take your dates. That's where, you know, bleachers, above them, below them, you know, just the bleachers. It's just kind of thing. It was horrible going to our football games. I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to whine. I'm just telling you. Our team sucked. We were the laughing stock. Listen, they lost every game my last year in high school. And they only scored one touchdown the whole year, and it was scored by the defense from a fumble recovery. Man, they sucked, okay? And you know what? I had to just what? Get over it. Because there's a lot of things in life you have to get over, but stay with me. There are a couple of things in your teenage years that if you can get over these two, David got over a couple of things that forever changed his life, and it happened in his teenage years, and it set the trajectory for the rest of his life. And I want to tell you what these two things are. I wrote them down right here. Are you ready? You ready? You're not ready. I'm not delivering this. You ready? Okay, here we go. The first thing David got over, David had to get over not being taken seriously. Come on now. He had to get over not being taken seriously. One of the realities of being a teenager is that the world around you doesn't take you all that seriously. Hang on. When he got to Goliath, Goliath looks down at him and says, what, am I a dog? I mean, you send me a boy. You said, what, am I not a warrior to be reckoned with? But David was used to not being taken seriously. His own king and nation, when he said, I'll go take Goliath, didn't take him seriously. His brothers, when he showed up at the battle lines, laughed him off and dismissed him, overlooked him, took no notice. They didn't take him seriously. His own father did not take him seriously. All the way back, Samuel was looking for the one God would anoint and call and set apart. His father didn't even bring David into the group of the sons because his own father did not take him seriously. But I want you to hear this. His heavenly father took him seriously. Yeah? And that makes all the difference in the world. And I'm not suggesting that you go try and get everybody else to take you seriously. What I'm saying is that in your teen years, you have to know that God takes you seriously. When God looked at David, God saw more than David as a teenager. He saw the whole of David's life. He knew that he would be with David. He knew that he had set David apart. He knew that David was someday going to be a major warrior. He was going to rise up as a king. He knew that the Son of God would come through his lineage. You see, God has a way of seeing your whole life at one time, and therefore, he takes you seriously. And listen, when Goliath looked at David, he just saw a boy. But when God looked at David, he knew that David was not on his own. God was with him. God knows that he's with you as his sons and daughters. And you have to know in your soul that God takes you seriously. Listen, if you do not know that God takes you seriously, if you do not believe that God takes you seriously, then you will not take yourself seriously before God, and you'll make all sorts of foolish decisions and waste your life. You need to know that even if your earthly parents do not take you seriously, your heavenly Father takes you seriously, and he fights for you. And I think one of the reasons he allowed me to come here today is to tell you that he fights for you because he takes you seriously. My daughter, my only daughter, when she was in middle school, had some difficulties one particular season getting on the bus for school. There were two bullies that were messing with my daughter. Now, I had to teach my daughter, you got to get over this, okay? You got to let this go. You got to be like Jesus. You pray for them. But they were diminishing her value. They were being cruel. They were calling her names. They were poking fun. They were creating oppression over her little soul. I mean, it's just, they were just, and at one point they put their hands on her. And that kind of crossed the line for me. And so I was all done with the, honey, you need to get over it. I said, I'm going to help them go get over it. Because sometimes you just need to know that you got a father who's fighting for you. Come on, you know you love this stuff. I love this stuff. Now let me tell you how it happened, because this is how it happened. I could have put on my little pastor tie, jacket, you know, and got in my SUV, drove over there, knocked on the door, and said, sir, your boys, kind of bullies, and just, would you stop doing that to my little girl, my princess? That would just be, I thought, you know, to go, you know, that, and I, you know what? I didn't think that would work. So I said, forget the SUV. And I put on my leathers. Oh no, I really did this. I told my daughter, relax. Daddy'll take care of it. I put on all my leathers. I lit the bike and I drove over to where I was fairly sure they lived. I parked the bike out in front of their house. And I waited. Everything I imagined would happen did happen. All the neighbors were looking out their curtains. What's going on out there? Until the boys came off the bus, walking down the street. And then I had to make sure that they heard the bike, because it's more intimidating when you hear the thunder, isn't it? Should I light it up for you? You know, I want to, but I got to tell you something. It's illegal to light this up in the room. Yeah, fire marshal showed up today. True. Said we can't do this. Said it would cost us a couple of $100. So I brought my $200. Because you just got to hear it to get the feeling of the intimidation. You see, it just makes a difference when two middle schoolers are walking down the street and some guy's sitting in front of their house going, it just helps. So then I shut it off as they hit their front yard. And I moseyed across the yard, because cool goes slow. Now I made sure that I had my Harley boots on, because when you're 5'8", you need every bit of help you can get. 5'8 is not intimidating, but this gives me almost 5'10". I was hoping it would help. When I walked up to the boys, all I had imagined unfolded. I said, Jimmy, Johnny, and they froze. By then, their mother was running out the door. May I help you, sir? And that was the first time I pretended I knew Jesus. I put on my Jesus smile. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Listen, I've shown up today because I have a wonderful daughter who I love, and your two boys are bullying my daughter, and it's going to end today. One way or another. Oh, yeah. Before I finished, the mom turned around and said, actually, these aren't my boys. It's a second marriage. I'll go get their dad. Off she ran. So she wasn't claiming them anymore. The dad came out. Now, you listen, I knew the risk I was taking. I have no idea if Goliath lives in this house. So I'm just praying, dear Jesus, please, please let it be one of the shorter dads. What can I say? When he walked out, I just smiled. He is 5'8 on his best day. My boots gave me just a little bit of look down. It was awesome. It was awesome. A God thing. It's a God thing. He came out and I said, how you doing? I said, listen, I decided to show up today. I have a precious daughter who rides the bus with your boys, Jimmy and Johnny. And I went through the whole story, and he looked at his boys and he was fired up. I could tell I didn't just stop by a Christian home. He let a few words go off and he said, boys, do you know this girl? And they said, no, Dad, we don't know Julissa. I hadn't even said her name, neither had he. He just looks at me. It's them. And then he said, boys, I want you to act like you don't know she lives. I want you to walk several feet from her. I don't want you to look at her, talk to her, mention her. If she's in your way, walk around, because I never want that man on my lawn again. Yeah. So he turned to me and he said to me, is that good enough? And I said, it is if it takes. See ya. Back on the bike, lit it up. They stood in the yard, because you know when you light that up and take off, you gotta watch. And you know what? All it was is some effort at intimidation, because she is no ordinary girl. She is my girl. She is set apart. She is special, unique, and deeply loved by me. And as her father, I fight for my girl. Now I want you to hear this. Listen. Girls, when I got home, I was daddy of the decade. Don't you know? Don't you? I said, baby girl, ain't nothing gonna happen to you again on the bus. If anything, they will brush off the seat before you sit on it. Never had another problem. Now let me ask you something, girls. If your daddy did that for you, tell me how it'd make you feel. Let me hear how it'd make you feel. And listen, listen, girls. That's how your Heavenly Father feels about you. Every girl should be loved like that on earth. But you're not. Every girl is supposed to have a daddy who loves her like that and fights for her like that. And many of you don't. It's how it was in our home, and I'm so sorry for you. But do not be confused between your earthly father and your heavenly father. Your heavenly father, he's the one that throws on the leathers, so to speak. And he goes and gets on the bike. And he fights on your behalf. And he's telling you today, girls, you've got to get over not taking yourself, so to speak, seriously. Not recognizing that God takes you seriously. You got to get over that. Otherwise, you're going to give yourself away, make huge mistakes with your life, and not know how set apart you really are. And by the way, guys, it makes us feel weak if dad shows up and protects us. You know, I didn't do that for my middle school son. But I want to tell you something. When my parents divorced in middle school, I never had words to talk about it. I just became a very angry person. Had all kinds of temper issues. Grades plummeted. I mean, it wrecked my life. Kind of lost my dad as he dismissed me. My older brothers had to go find their own way. Listen. As a teenager, I needed a father to fight for me, to help me become a man. And he wasn't there. And every young man should have that. And some of you don't. And I'm so sorry. But you need to know that your heavenly father takes you seriously and he fights for you. And young men, you need to know that too. And you need to walk through life with the confidence that the Father who created you is still fathering you, still fighting for you, and he takes you seriously. Agreed? Come on, agreed? He does. He does. So act like it. Act like it. You see, David understood that while others were not taking him seriously, he had to get over that. Because his Father in heaven was taking him seriously. His Father was fighting for him. And he managed himself as a teenager in life in such a way that when he showed up, he had the confidence his Father was with him. I think God's saying to you today, get over not being taken seriously. Now there's a second thing that David got over. I wrote it down. You want to hear it? Now, I'm not going to give it to you if you're going to give me that wimpy little response. You want to hear it or not? Because I got to go all the way back to David's story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. I got to set this up. Something I had never heard when I was a kid every time they taught the story of David and Goliath. I've never heard this. And it's right here. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to read it. I want you to listen. Now Jesse, the father of David, said to his son David, this is when David's a teenager, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to the camp. These guys are all out fighting the Philistines. Goliath is part of the Philistines. David was tending sheep. I mean, he's not taken seriously. He's not a warrior. Don't worry about him. But he needed some things taken to the front line. So he says, David, you do this. And listen to this. take along 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. 10 what? Let's say it louder. 10 what? 10 cheeses. You're kidding me. This is what you think of David. Hey, David. God sees him as a great king. Hey, David, as a teenager, here's what I want you to do. You're the cheese delivery boy. Let's just call it the cheese pizza delivery boy. This is what God has in mind for you. Oh, you got a huge future. You're anointed. God, you're set apart. And here's the evidence. Go deliver the cheese pizzas to the front line. Doesn't that sound awesome? Man, don't you feel large for having been called to something so great? I mean, it's just sitting here in the text. Take it along. Listen, verse 20. Early the next morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and set out as Jesse, his father, had directed. As Jesse, his father, had what? Directed. You see that? Here it is. David got over not taking directions seriously. Come on now. That's huge in your teenage years. You got to get over not taking directions seriously. David's father on earth gave him directions, and it says, and David got up and did exactly what his father asked. He followed his directions. Listen, none of us, in fact, one of the hallmarks of our teenage years is that we don't like people giving us directions. Man, don't tell me what to do. Do what I want you. What was it about David so centered in his soul that he was okay being the pizza, cheese pizza delivery boy? Because I'm going to show you something. On the other side of this, we think the great story is David and Goliath. And I think the great story is he was the cheese pizza delivery boy, because that's sometimes the hardest thing to conquer. He followed his father's directions. In fact, let's have a little fun with the whole cheese pizza thing. Because there are surprises on the other side of that for David, and there are for us. And so I had to draw from YouTube. I had to tell you, that once in a while I jump on there, I like to watch those videos, they're hilarious. And I just pulled out one that I like. It's just about the surprises that come with cheese pizza delivering. It's not going to change your life. You don't have to take notes. It just makes me smile. Enjoy it.
Aw, yeah, Saturday night, chilling out, playing some games, eating some pizza, just keeping it real. And then, huh? That don't taste right. I know I didn't order my... Oh, man, anchovies.
Just kidding, guys. Tonight's nasty prank is to put these disgusting pizza toppings on top of pizzas. When delivery guys come, we switch their pizza with ours and show them a pizza they'll never forget.
Hello? Hey, how you doing, man?
$14, please.
14?
Yes.
Okay, we ordered from you guys one time, and you guys sent us the wrong topping, so we just want to make sure. Oh, man. What is this, man? What? Was that a cricket that fell?
Yeah.
Dude, you know what? I'll tell you something. I definitely ordered the crickets, but I did not order the worms.
What?
Does that smell? Oh, man, what? Yo, walk you. Yo, check your bag, man. There's one in your jacket. There's one in your jacket. Watch it. Watch it. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I didn't order green peppers on this, man. Oh, man. Dude, you sure you don't want a slice? You want a slice?
No.
Okay. Oh, what?
That's it.
What? No. Man, what is that?
No.
Is this some type of joke? Do you eat this stuff?
No, I'm delivering it. The guy put the old pizza there.
You know, this is so unbelievable. You've just been pranked on CBC. One bite. How bad can it be? Yeah, I can't do it, man. Cut, 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 cut. I can't do this. Here, you have it. It's the last slice. I can't eat it.
That's just fun, isn't it? cheese pizza delivery. Listen, what if at the heart of God's purposing in your life is that he has truly set you apart like David? He has anointed you like David. He has called you like David. But you have to get over not taking direction seriously. That at the heart of fully following God is nothing more than doing what David did. He was the pizza delivery boy. It looked demeaning. It looked less. It didn't look like this. It was this great king rising up. But I want you to see this. You've got to see this. We all say, oh, I would love to drop a Goliath. I listen to teenagers because God puts stuff on your heart. He can dream large for you because you don't have enough experience to be pessimist yet. You know, so he can say, man, believe me largely for some things in your life. And so, man, fired up as a teenager. But listen, before you ever drop Goliath, you have to be in the right place at the right time with the Spirit of God fully on you. And the way you get there is being God's pizza delivery guy or girl. Yeah? When God gives you direction, his whole word is full of direction. The Holy Spirit abides in you, and he gives you direction. And all you do is deliver on his directions. That's all David did. Listen, David found himself on a battlefield that day where the Spirit of God prompted him to step forward with huge faith that was missing in the lives of all the leaders and warriors around him. And God was about to raise up another generation of a leader. And the only reason it ultimately happened is because David knew how to follow his father's directions. Do not take it lightly when you feel like a good bit of your life is merely delivering pizzas, so to speak, as God's directed. It is not demeaning. It is delivering, and it is finding yourself in the places where God can open up doors to dropping Goliaths. The best part of the story is not that Goliath went down, but that David got over his own internal battles of not taking directions seriously. Because when you fail to take directions seriously, I mean, we call it what it is. It's stupid. When I was 6 years old, I fell in love with motorcycles. I just love bikes. Always wanted one. Got my first one at 17. Did not know how to ride one or shift the gears. So I bought a bike. I didn't know how to ride it. I had to get a friend to go pick up the bike for me and bring it home and then show me how to ride it. And he gave me all of these directions. And it was kind of complicated. He says, here's how you shift. Here's the gear. Here's how the bike's built. And it was just like a 175 Enduro Yamaha thing. But I was amazed. I'm like, I am a biker dude now. So I was fired up. I'm a teenager. I'm 17. And here's what he tells me. He says, let me walk you through all this. And then he says, and don't be stupid. I said, what's stupid? Stupid is not following my directions. You're going to kill yourself. Don't be stupid. Okay, I got that. Well, you know what? It took me 2 weeks to be stupid. That's it. 2 weeks. 2 weeks where I felt confident enough to dismiss his directions and do my own thing. So here's what I'm doing. I'm sitting, we're a single parent family home kind of thing. We're at a townhouse and all these kind of houses along and doors along the way. And we got our little townhouse in the middle there. And I've got my motorcycle out in front. And I'm sitting out there with my cousin. He's 17 too. And I'm getting a little cocky with the bike and I'm just popping wheelies. I'm just, check this out, man. Poop. Drop down the front, poop, pop wheelie, drop down the front. I'm getting fairly impressed with myself. And he's sitting there, hey, that's not bad. I said, yeah, I'm pretty good. About the 20th time I flipped it up, I slipped and went down the seat. And what happens, if you don't understand bikes, I let go of the clutch. I couldn't reach it anymore. And full on gas. And I did a wheelie for 20 feet. Dead center of the door to our townhouse. I hit it at full speed. I promise you this. I literally dropped the door flat, rode over the door, doing a wheelie still, how I don't know, and went up the stair steps directly behind the door. A third to halfway up the stairs, I lost it, flipped back, put the handlebars on either side of the wall, with gas draining down, I'm looking backwards at my cousin who's standing outside the door, just stunned at what I just achieved. I wish this thing were on film. It would have made some money. I mean, it was awesome. When I finally came to my senses, I'm hanging upside down. I dropped down. I got up, and all I can think of, before mom gets home, we gotta fix this. How, I don't know. So he helped me rip the bike out of the... How do you get the gas smell out of carpet? You don't, just FYI. We took the bike out. We stood the door up. I mean, it was just shredded. And here's a tire mark dead center in the middle of the door. And after a couple of hours, when my adrenaline went down, my left foot began to ache. And I realized I did some damage. For 10 years... I had trouble with that foot. And I learned a life lesson. This is so deep. So deep. Are you ready? Stupid hurts. That's it. Tell your neighbor. No, no, come on. Tell your neighbor. Help them out. Tell them. Tell your neighbor. Stupid hurts. That's it. When you finally figure out that dismissing your Heavenly Father's directions is stupid, and stupid hurts, you realize that most of the time you brought your pain on your own life. And many times you're feeling the pain of somebody else's stupid. And what David figured early on when he was a teenager is that he not only had to realize that God takes him seriously, but he had to take God seriously. And that's why when Jesus came, God in human flesh, and he dwelt among us. He says in John chapter 6, I have come not to do my will, not to follow my directions, but to do the will of my Father in heaven. So he says, follow me. It's why he wrote it down. It's why he gave us his word. It's why he gives us all this. So that we could know how to live life in the fullness of God's created design. So that we would know, like David, that we've been set apart, anointed for a godly purpose. So that you would know in your teen years, God takes you seriously. So that you would know to take God's direction seriously. And if you know God takes you seriously and you take God seriously, you have a huge future in front of you. That's why he teaches us things like 1 Peter, where he says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. In other words, engage this adventure. You're going off on an adventure with God. God's unique call on you, parallel to David. Maybe it's not to be a king, but whatever it is, you're going to deliver pizzas, so to speak. You're the cheese pizza delivery guy or girl for God, and he's going to take you out on this adventure. He says, be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, what's that mean? As those who follow his directions, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. So be what? Holy in all you do. Say it with me. So be what? Holy in all you do. For it is written, the directions have been given. Be holy, because I am holy. In other words, Jesus Christ who came and made it possible for us to be holy. Because everything that's been talked about this weekend and what many of you already know in your soul, what many of you celebrated here as you ask for forgiveness, is that the work of Jesus Christ by his shed blood makes you holy. Who else can do that? But once God has made you holy, he then calls you to be holy in all you do. And he's taking you seriously. Are you taking him seriously? You've been made holy. Now be holy in all you do. To be holy is as simple as knowing God takes you seriously and you taking God seriously. Maybe we could simplify it and say, don't overdo this. Don't make this holy thing more complex than it is. What if it's nothing more than you setting your will and surrendering your heart to be your Heavenly Father's cheese pizza delivery guy. Cheese pizza delivery girl. Father, every time you speak, I'll deliver on that. What if that's all that is truly at the heart of holiness? I'm going to tell you something. When I was a teenager, and even in my late teens, I always felt like I didn't have a testimony. When I was a kid, the cool testimonies, they were these people who like, I wrecked my life, dude. I mean, I've been on drugs for years. I've been in the occult. I mean, I've hurt people. I've wasted my life. You know, I've been sexually promiscuous. I have been a waste of a human being. And then the power of God intervened. And man, when they tell their story, you're like, whoa, look what God can do. Listen, that is the power of intervention. Makes a great testimony. Listen, stay with me. But over the years, I discovered there is another power of God. It is the power of prevention. I want to tell you something. That's an amazing power. I finally realized that while many of those testimonies make for great stories at conventions, they make for lousy lives. I don't want to live through that. And not only is God capable to intervene when I mess up and forgive me, but God's power is so great that it can prevent the sin in my life so I don't even have to go through it and ask for forgiveness. His power can free me up to walk like Christ. That's the power of God in holiness. I would rather have a testimony of a great life that walked with God and all I did was deliver pizzas for Jesus and every time found myself in a place where God was free to let His favor fall on my life. You know what? I have a great story to tell you. I haven't wrecked my marriage. I've been married 25 years. I got married as a virgin. I've only known one woman my whole life. It's all I've ever known. Same for her. We have four beautiful kids and we have a solid marriage and a great family and we get to be a part of His church and I don't have any horrible stories to tell you. And I think that's the better testimony. Maybe. What do you think? I mean, that's the life I wanted. Now, it's not that there really is a better and a worse testimony. I'm just here to remind you that if you can get over those two things as a teenager, God can rescue your future now. And you can have no regrets. Yet, have I sinned along the way? Have I made mistakes? Yes. And forgiveness is quick from God. But His power is greater than forgiveness. His power is freedom from the power of sin. It is the power of prevention. And I think God would have you students to know that if you will walk with Him as His pizza delivery guys and gals, He'll leverage the power of prevention in your life and you can know His anointed favor. How about that? That's worth taking home. That's what this moment is about. So I want to take a moment and I want to pray with you. And we're going to do something a little bit unusual. To your right and to your left. At the tables to your right and to your left. Where you would normally go for a moment of prayer and response. Are personal pizza boxes. Personal size. I think God would be pleased today. If He's put it on your heart and you're willing to surrender your heart. And set your will to say, look, my life is about following God in holiness. I am His pizza delivery guy. I am His pizza delivery girl. I'm going to go take a box. I'm going to sign it, personalize it, put my name on it as a declaration to heaven and anyone else. And you're going to deliver the pizza box right up front here. And you're just going to help hand it up and we're going to stack them right here. And this is going to be a testimony before the Lord. We, the students, the teenagers here today, for all who are willing. And don't do this because your friends are doing this. For some of you, you're not ready. For some of you, it's not true. For some of you, it will be motion and emotion, but not true, clear setting of your will. But for those of you whom the Spirit of God is speaking to, this is going to be your moment when I'm done with my prayer. You begin to move. Now hang on, there's one more thing. When I was a teenager, 16 years old, the Spirit of God impressed on me that I was to be a minister for Him. That's how I would deliver pizza, so to speak. For some of you, you've had that impression and He's waiting for you to sign on. For some of you, he's been stirring you today and you didn't even know today would be the day that the Spirit of God would call you and say, look, I have this for you. You may not even understand all of what it means. He's not looking for you to understand it or define it. He'll do that for you. The one who calls you will clarify. But he's looking for you to say yes. And for a unique group of people here, whomever you are, teenagers, that he's calling you to serve him in full-time ministry. You go grab a box, and I want you to bring it to the far right table that says Joy. In fact, I'm going to walk over and stand at that table and just not individually pray over you, but pray over all of you as you come. So all of you are invited who care to bring your pizza delivery box right here, signed before the Lord, your covenant to him. But uniquely, there may be some of you that would walk to that side, and you would have to place it there, and you would say, look, God, I believe you're calling me. And if you are, I'm fully in. I'm willing to follow. I am your pizza delivery guy or gal. Yeah? So let me pray with you. Let me pray with you. So, Father, it is no small thing that we are gathered here because you take these students seriously. Even if their nation doesn't, their parents do not, their teachers do not. Even if the enemies or the Goliaths of life do not. Even if there are bullies on buses who do not. You do, and you fight for them. And now what we're declaring, God, is that we take you seriously. And there's going to be a few of us here today who will surrender our heart freshly and just say in this prayer, God, I'm one of them. I so want to be yours. I so want to be surrendered to you. I so want all that you have for me. I so want the life that's set apart. I so want the walk of David before you. I so want to know your anointed favor in my life. I so want to live set apart. That I will set my will and say before you, as the Holy Spirit indwells me, I'll follow your directions. And though it looks menial to the world, I'll deliver pizza faithfully wherever you ask. So, Father, I pray that you would seal that in the soul, that we may walk in holiness as you are holy. And may we never be the same again by your grace. May there be wonderful stories of prevention in the years ahead. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.